Hello guys, so and hi everyone. So I'm Carolina and I'm going to do the masterclass today. And I'm not going to begin before time, so I'm just going to let you guys in. I'm very excited. So this is my first lecture in first masterclass in English, so I'm trying not to die during this one. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen here with you guys. I have made some slides and here we go. So, hey. So, hi everyone. So I'm very excited to do this masterclass today. So Kelvin and Simpliro have invited me today to talk about how to get more out of your Facebook ads. So today we're not going to cover like how to set up a lead ad or, you know, something like that, but we're going to talk about all the things that will actually make your campaigns a success, right? And what I enjoy most about doing masterclasses is actually adding value. So I'm not going to sell you anything today. I'm not going to pitch anything at all. But what I'm going to do is to actually tell you what I would tell you if you had paid me a lot of money to do a session or work on your business, right? And if any of you guys have questions during my teaching, or if there's anything you want to have my view on, I would love to hear from you guys. So please like write to me in the chat, okay? So I'll look into that during the teaching. So, none of you probably know me. So my name is Caroline Berg, and this is me and my business partner and my husband. So we have this company called Crowdpleaser, where we're specialized in helping heart-based entrepreneurs reach and convert their ideal clients through sustainable marketing on Facebook and with Facebook ads. So getting to success with Facebook ads is way more about setting up an ad. It's actually about creating audiences. It's about creating value in your marketing, being relevant, and know how to be visible in a sustainable way and in a heart-based way, right? So I've been working with Facebook and marketing on Facebook for more than 10 years. I've had several businesses, not only this one, but I've actually been in the baby wearing industry. I made like the first baby wearing school, online baby wearing school in the world. I have been in the personal development industry doing online courses for a while. And now we have this company ad agency doing Facebook ads. We mainly work with online course creators, content-based web shops, coaches, people who work in personal development and in health, right? So that's our main experience. So during the years, I've helped like thousands of entrepreneurs, have thousands of coaching sessions with people, and which is why I've like really studied hard on how do we actually get success and how do we actually get success on Facebook and with ads. And besides doing all this, I have 5 kids. You might hear some of them upstairs because it's evening in Denmark. And so they're at home with my husband and the 3 cats. And right over here, you can see it, we have around 105 board games. So strategy is kind of like a main passion in my life. I don't know how you guys feel about Facebook ads. I'm just going to take my slides off here. So I would love to hear from you guys. What is your biggest like concern or challenge with doing Facebook ads and marketing on Facebook? So please come with your input, right? So you might look like, I'm going to share my screen again. You might look like this when it comes to Facebook ads and marketing on Facebook. So this is how I look sometimes, or that is how I looked previously before I knew how to do it correctly, right? So there's a technique, right? It can be really frustrating, like figuring out all the things. And when you finally figure it out, Facebook changes something, right? They change things all the time. And then there was one thing that was particularly difficult for me. It was like figuring out why something worked or why something didn't work. Before, everybody did Facebook ads or everybody used Facebook in a very strategic way. I actually managed one to build a list on 25,000 people, primarily boosting a post I did with a freebie. Yes. And of course, most people who run ads professionally would tell you not to boost, and I will tell you that too. Don't do that. The only reason it was possible at that point is because it was, I think, 6-7 years ago. And 6-7 years ago, it was way, 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 way easier to actually reach your audience and reach your audience for way less money. Today, there's so many people trying to reach the same people as you. And especially in 2020, the circumstances we are in, we can see it in Denmark. A lot of our clients are actually getting higher lead prices, or at least prices that are a bit unstable. I don't know if any of you guys are experiencing that. So this is how I look sometimes, and it can be very frustrating. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is what actually affects your prices, what affects your ads. Because when you understand what actually affects your ads, it's way easier for you to adjust them so they perform better, right? And I'm going to talk about some of the biggest mistakes we see out there, which very often makes people's campaigns perform badly. And then I want to say something that not a lot of people who work with ads say, just sometimes campaigns just don't work, right? Sometimes it doesn't work. We also do ads and campaigns for people that doesn't work, right? So that's normal. But what you have to do with it is you have to use it to make your other campaigns better. So you have to analyze them, figure out why it didn't work, and then do it better. Instead of just saying, okay, ads doesn't work for me. Yeah. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. So this photo was actually taken on the exact same day we did a photo session this summer. So I'm cheating a bit here. So this is how we look when we are very excited for our clients. We have a lot of awesome clients that get great results. And I can't take all the credit. We can't take all the credit because to have success with Facebook ads actually means you have to have a business that works. So we don't make people's business work. We basically just scale up what is already working. So I'm going to start talking about some of the things, some of the mistakes we see out there. And please, again, if you have any questions, ask me. And sometimes I'm going to look at the chat. I'm not going to do it all the time because then I'll just get confused. And I'm a bit nervous about this particular masterclass as it is my first English masterclass. So bear over with me. So this is something a lot of people working with ads are not going to tell you. Ads can't fix it if you have a problem with your product or your message. And this is probably the biggest reason why a lot of campaigns don't work. So sometimes we get mails from people who wants us help with ads. And they want our help because they have tried everything and nothing works for them. If you're at that point in your business, it's not a good time to use ads. Ads is not going to save your business. It's not going to change your business if it's already broken and if something doesn't work. So basically, ads are like a magnifying glass, right? So it's just going to enlarge whatever there is in your business and nothing else, basically. So Facebook ads, for instance, can send more people to your podcast. If you love to do podcasts and you do a great podcast and you already have people coming there, you want more people to come there. And if it's a good podcast, you can use ads to get more listeners to your podcast. If you love to do live streams and it adds value, you can use ads to get more people to that live stream. if you do webinars that sell really well, you can use ads to get more people on those webinars so you can convert more people into paying customers, right? And ads can get more people on your newsletter. Maybe you have a business where you have all sorts of different products and you always use your newsletters to sell these products. And of course, it's more efficient to actually write emails to 30,000 people instead of 5,000 people, or to 5,000 people instead of 500 people. So if you can see, okay, I'm actually selling with my emails, I have success with that, then it could make sense to use ads to send more people to that email list. So one of the things we always do when we start working with people is to figure out what they have in the business that already work. Do they have something that sells well, and how do they do it? Do they do something on Facebook that already works for them, and can we somehow use ads to actually enlarge that or make it better, right? So ads can fix it if you have a problem with your product or message. But what ads can do, it can reveal what the problem is. So when you understand what actually affects your ads, you'll be able to study your numbers, study the data, and then you'll be able to figure out where the problem is. It's not always that easy. You have to do a lot of testing maybe, but it's not Facebook ads. You shouldn't like go out and spend a loads of money if you don't have a funnel that works. I sometimes hear about people who actually spend so much money on ad agencies and ads and actually didn't make money on that. And that's not how it's supposed to be. Ads are supposed to make you money. And for a lot of people, for the clients we have, ads are like, it's an investment, right? So when you invest money in ads, it's supposed to give you money back in paying customers. Else it's not, you know, it doesn't make sense then. And this one is good as well. A single ad is not a strategy, and it's in general a bad idea. We hear a lot of people trying, you know, a single ad, like setting up a text and a picture, selling a product maybe, or one text, one picture, trying to get people to a webinar. And sometimes it might work, sometimes it doesn't. But a single ad is not a strategy in itself, and especially not if it's just a sales ad. Facebook is not very suitable for selling unless it's a warm audience. A warm audience is people that already knows you, a people you have a relation, not people. It is an audience you actually have a relationship to, right? And a single ad, like a campaign consisting of only one text and one picture, is not a good idea, because then you can't figure out what works for you. One of the things that we always do, we split test and we test everything, always. For instance, we have a client now we've worked with for almost a year. She is working with new moms, helping getting their body into shape again. And when we started working with her, we asked her to, for instance, produce more content every week. And then we use ads to get that content in front of her ideal audience, right? And when we do her webinar campaigns, we don't just use one text or one picture. We do maybe three, four pictures or videos. And then we figure out what works the best. And the next time we then do a webinar campaign for her, we will take the best of and then make new versions of that. And then test again, even the landing page. We always split test landing pages to figure out what works the best. That's an awesome way to actually make your message like even sharper, and you're figuring out what's really working for you. And that's also a very sustainable way to think marketing. We always talk about how can we make our marketing even more sustainable. And I think one of the main parts of doing sustainable marketing is to make sure that every campaign produces results you can use for your next campaign or otherwise in your marketing. Because when you do that, then even a campaign that didn't went that well will even be useful, and that's sustainable. So don't focus on selling. I've probably already revealed it. So people don't go on the Facebook app to buy. They just don't. And nobody likes to be sold to. Like, nobody likes to feel like they're being manipulated or sold to. I think maybe my next slide, no, it's not that one. I have another slide that says that people go blind if they feel like it's a commercial, right? You might even know that. Sometimes you have posts in your feeds and you're kind of like, why am I getting this, right? And that's what you don't want of your marketing. What you want is to do relevant marketing. So a lot of people always ask, how do I cut through all the noise? How do I get visible? Well, you do that by understanding what Facebook is. So Facebook is a community and people go there to, I don't know what it's called in English actually, but kind of like, if you're interested in board games, like my husband, Christian, right? He is a member of like several groups about board games. He follows a lot of pages, both blogs, but also businesses that sell board games. So his feed is full of board game posts from different companies and groups, and for instance. So that is actually how people use Facebook today to look at things that they really are interested in. And what people also do is that they sit on the toilet and they're just, you know, just sitting, looking at their phone and swiping on Tinder or going on Facebook or whatever, right? So if you want to connect with people and you want to grab people's attention, you actually have to create value, like big time value. You have to make a difference. So don't focus on selling at all. Most of the ad spend we have for our clients do not go to selling. Most of it goes to getting the content out in front of the audience, and it goes to getting leads to webinars, newsletters, for instance. And only a few clients actually do sales ads. It doesn't mean that they don't make money on the ads, but what they focus on is actually getting the leads to the webinar or newsletter where they sell a product. So it's not the ads that sell the product, but the ads send people to the place where they sell. Does that make sense? So this is the same. Stop spending all your money on sales ads. That's basically it. It's very, very important because I think we say that around 70, 80% of your ad spend should go to actually getting leads and nurturing your audience. 70 to 80%. I think most people I meet that don't have success with their ads is because they only focus on selling. So they do a lot of sales ads that don't work, and then they conclude that ads don't work. And yes, that's true. It doesn't work if you focus on selling, because nobody is going to Facebook to buy something from you, and especially not if they don't know you. So this is a good one as well. So I spend a lot of time talking to prospects, like talking to people who want us to set up their ads, and I mostly say no to them, and I do because they're not ready. So my message today to you is, don't hire us or anybody else before you have tested your funnel and know your return of investment. Don't hire us or others before you have tested if your product actually works, if it's a match to your audience. And don't hire us or others if you don't know if you can actually make money. Because Facebook ads is not going to fix if you have a product problem. But you could do a lot of testing yourself. And of course, maybe you need a list to test something on. Maybe you need to do a series of webinars to test. But most of these things you can actually do yourself. It's not that complicated to set up ads. The complicated part is actually to understand all the data and understand how you do the strategy and do it right. It's not setting up the ads. You can more or less Google it. No, it's not that easy. But you know, there's a lot of online courses that can teach you that. It's not that difficult. Sorry, I'm going to stop sharing my screen here for a while. Yeah, Beth here is asking, we have a lot of people asking us about how to get the ads approved. A lot of them are getting the ads rejected. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we experience a lot as well. And we even experience it even though we are professional, right? So you just have to comply with the Facebook rules. So I think a lot of people, they find it very difficult to work with Facebook. I know I did for a while. And I even actually, we just experienced that my account for advertising, my personal account and my personal, I was shut down by Facebook for 3 months and it was just a mistake. So Facebook made a lot of mistakes and they have a lot of waiting time, especially during these times, they have a lot of waiting times. So we even have clients who have their accounts closed, right? And the only thing you can do here is just to follow their instructions. There's always instructions and you can make appeals. And that's the only thing you can do is make appeals and be polite and wait and have a lot of patience, right? And Facebook actually have like a small online course now. You can take, if you're not sure if you comply with the rules, if you're not sure what words you're allowed to use, they actually have a great small online course you can take right now. And if you, for instance, if you're working with weight loss, for instance, then you are just, weight loss is not one of Facebook's favorite subjects, let's just say that. We have a few clients who work in the weight loss and health business, and it can be a bit difficult. So today, for instance, it's very important that you don't talk directly. You're not allowed to say, are you stressed out? Do you feel overweight? Do you feel sad? Something like that. But you can say, sometimes when you feel sad, I meet a lot of women in my field that feel sad. Or you can tell your own personal story and that will definitely get approved. Yeah. Okay. I will get back to my slides here. So why I'm saying this is because about not hiring us or others is because I think a lot of people get ads anxiety because they hire someone, spend a lot of money, not just on an agency, but also on the ads, and they don't get anything out of it. So it's actually possible to do a lot of testing. So you can figure out what works for you. And so you can definitely hire someone to help you do that. But then you don't hire a big agency that costs a lot. Then you hire someone who matches that and matches your budget, right? But you would need someone who knows your niche and knows your audience. That's also very important when you hire someone, is that they actually have experience in your field. That's why we only take clients in if we know their audience, if it is a niche that we're really good at, because there's such a big difference between the different niches, the prices, the audience, what works with them. So go with someone who has actually experience in that niche. Okay. So I'm going to walk over some of the things that Facebook ads are really great at. So Facebook ads are really great at getting leads for webinars, live streams, and newsletters. It's really great at selling to people who already know you. Sometimes there's an exception here. If you have like a very small, cheap, low-end product, you can actually sell it to people who don't know you. But it depends on your niche, it depends on your market, if it's actually something that's possible. We have in the past had success with selling eBooks and books with ads when it's self-published. So you actually get almost all the money yourself, then it might work for you. And we see a lot of people doing kind of like micro products, like high value products, but at, for instance, like $37 or something like that. And that works for some people as well. But the thing is, you need to be extremely precise in your product. It needs to be a very, very like work through sales page. So that would probably only work for you if you have a lot of experience and really know your audience very, very, very well. What also works is the scale of funnel that works. So let's say you have done a few webinars and your online course or your high-end program is selling really well, then it would make sense to use ads to actually get more people to that webinar. The thing is that you should be aware of is that it's not, like for instance, if you invite, like let's say 500 people to that webinar, the first 500 might cost you maybe $3-4 per lead, but when you're scaling up, they might be even more expensive. So it's important before you scale up that you have a great return of investment. It means that when you invest the money, that you actually get quite a lot of in return, because when you scale up, you will, your return of investment will mostly be less. And one of the things that Facebook ads are really great at as well is getting traffic to podcasts and blogs, etc. And what we always look at is what already works in your business. So you can ask yourself right now, what do you do on Facebook now that you already like? What do you do in your business online already that works for you and your life? And then look, can Facebook ads somehow magnify that? Can Facebook help me to get traffic to that place or scale that up somehow? One of the base things that we always ask our clients to do is always to do nurture campaigns. So every week we ask them to do one piece of content. We prefer video, but if video doesn't work for you, then a normal post is fine as well. But you do one post, it could be a blog post, it can be a podcast post, it can also just be a video post or a normal post, right? One post a week, that's all. You don't even have to do like several posts every day, because nobody likes to do posts that nobody sees, right? One post every week, and then spend a little money to get it out in front of your audience, both the people who already know you, but also a new audience. Why? Well, it has, one of the things that's important with that is that you keep being top of mind with the people who already know you, right? So sales is always about building relations, and especially during these times, right? When it's online and everything is very fast, people want something that's real and something that really makes a difference. No one wants bullshit anymore, right? And we don't fall for it anymore. So you want something that makes value. No, we don't want anything that you sell. We don't want anything where you ask me for an email or something. You should think about marketing kind of like dating. I actually did a video a few years ago where I went down the local shopping street and I asked random men if they wanted to marry me. And my ex-husband, he filmed it. And we did it to show you guys that that's what most people actually do with their marketing and Facebook. They are asking people to move in or sleep with them before they actually have a relationship to them with them, right? Does that make sense? So so these nurture campaigns is kind of like the first thing you need to do. And it doesn't matter if you're a newbie or if you're already doing a stream, live streams and stuff like that. Start spending money on your posts and get it out in front of the people who already know you and get it out in front of people who don't know you yet. When you do that, you also build better audiences. And I think one of the biggest reasons why people get a lot of expensive ads is because they have low quality audiences. So the way you build better audiences is to create content that creates value. Because then you attract people instead of trying to enforce your things on them, right? And one of the things that I really love about Facebook ads, and I admit I am a Facebook nerd, is that it shows you where your marketing is weak and strong, so you can do better. So when you know where to look, what numbers to look at, and we can definitely talk about that today if you want that, guys. It can show you if your landing page needs to be better. It can show you if your content, like the creatives, like your text and your pictures, needs to be better. It can show you what pictures, what messages, works better. It can show you what audiences that works for you. It can show you what interests your audiences have, or what interests your audience, what interests that match your content the best and stuff like that. So I think what Facebook ads actually can today is can give you a lot of info that previously you had to run like a huge business to get all that info. But today you can have your kind of like your mini marketing machine in Facebook, because you can read all those numbers and actually get info on what works for you. Okay, my slideshow is a bit slow here. So let's look at what decides the price of your ads. So it's the market, it's the existing resources and experience in your company, or the starting point of your business. It's your strategy, it's your offer, it's your targeting, like your audience, it's the creators of your landing page. I'm going to walk through them right now. So the market. So that's very interesting, because that's a big, big, big thing. And the market, you can't really do anything about it unless you want to change your niche, for instance. And that's, for the most part, it's not like a very sustainable solution just to change niche if you think the market is a bit too rough, right? So one of the ways that the prices are decided is kind of like an auction, right? So we all compete for the same slots in people's feeds. I think it's like post 3, 5, 7, etc. If you scroll down, you can see there's sponsored or ads in space 3, 5, etc. Right? So we all compete for that space. And the more people who wants to reach the same people as you, is the more expensive it's going to be. Because then someone else will say, no, I want to pay a dollar more for that. Well, they're not going to say that, but that's how it works, right? So for instance, this year, we have seen that the market is very nervous, right? So the prices are very up and down. And in some niches, we have seen the market go up, for instance, in our own niche. And we have in some niches, and for some periods, we have seen the prices go down. For instance, when the first lockdown came all over the world, we saw all the prices went down, probably because a lot of people just stopped doing ads immediately because they got scared, right? And a lot of people were suddenly sitting at home. So more people were on Facebook, which means that suddenly there were more people to actually receive the marketing, right? So the market is a big, huge player here. And you can't do anything about it, but it's very important that you know it, because that's why you can't compare yourself to other niches. That's why you can't compare one campaign to another, because the market is always changing and it's a huge player in deciding your prices, right? And then there is your companies or your starting point, the existing resources and experience in your company. So this means, for instance, do you already have a list? If you have like a huge list and a huge following, that means that you have a very strong set of data building, which makes it easier for you to actually build a strong audience. In Facebook, you can make what's called a lookalike audience, which means that you can actually make an audience based on, for instance, your list or your existing following. And the bigger and the more on point those people are, the stronger your lookalike audiences are going to perform. So of course, if you already have this business and this existing data, your ads will perform better than with a person who's just starting out and don't have any lookalike audiences or any audiences they can use for lookalike audiences, right? And then there's just like basic stuff, like how good are you at writing? How good are you at posting? How well do you know your audience and stuff like that? And that's all experience, and that's a part of the journey. So again, of course, you can do better and better and better. But when you do a campaign right now, you can't change that as well. That's also why you can't compare yourself to another niche, to another person, to another company. You need to, yeah. You know this, because that's how we all do sometimes. We kind of compare ourselves with others, which means that we are giving ourselves we're hitting ourselves in the head with a hammer, right? And you can't do that with ads either. It's just going to confuse you. And this is another reason why you can't just, if I tell you, okay, we can get some of our clients, we can actually get them leads for like 30 cents or something, or 2, 3, 4 kronas. If we write out an email about that, we'll give a lot of people like writing to us, oh, can you give me so cheap leads as well? And we could just tell them, I don't know. I don't know what the price for your leads will be, because it depends. It depends on your freebie. It depends on your audience. It depends on what you have done the last year on your Facebook page. Facebook page. It depends on so much, right? And then it's your strategy. Is your strategy good? Is your strategy good? We're going to talk a little about strategies as well. Then it's your offer. Is your offer a match to your audience, right? What's the price of the offer, and how well a match is it? And then it's your audience, like your targeting. And that's like a really, really, really important thing as well. And some of the changes we're seeing right now is that before you would like do a lot of the campaign structure, would do a lot of small audiences and testing what worked well. And today the algorithm actually worked better doing bigger audiences. So you don't segment as much today as you did earlier. But of course, the audience is only as good as your strongest data set, right? So it's important that you always focus on doing better data sets. That's also why you should do these nurture campaigns, because if you do nurture campaigns, you're actually building your Facebook audience bigger. And the bigger it is and the more important it is, the better your lookalike Facebook audiences can be, right? And then the creatives. The creatives is your text and your pictures and your videos. It's very important as well. And when you're looking at the data in Ads Manager, you can look at your click prices and your click-through rate. That tells you the quality of your creatives. But again, you can't compare to others, right? You have to compare to yourself. So for instance, in our niche, our click prices will be way more expensive than some of our clients that work with personal development, for instance. Way, way, way more expensive, right? So you have to test in your own niche, in your own campaigns. But we sometimes see that like a single picture can make the price 10 times higher or 10 times lower. So it does make a huge difference. And this is why it's very important that you always test like several pictures and several texts and several headlines. And then it's your landing page. Your landing page, for instance, for your webinar or for your freebie or your sales page. Your ads are only as good as your landing page. Yes, ads are only as good as your landing page. So let me give you an example. So let's see you are like a family coach, and you have this freebie that teaches parents how to, what should it be? I would say how to get your siblings stop fighting. That would be a great one. I would love to have that freebie. So let's say you have that freebie and your ads are sending people to your landing page, and your landing page convert 25%. So if you converted 50%, your lead price would be half the cost, right? Or you get twice as many people on your list for the same amount of money. So the landing page makes a huge difference. And a lot of people don't see that, understand that. So they don't really count that in as a part of the strategy or something that they actually need to nurture. We use, something that we need to nurture. So that's very, very important too. And also if you can split test your landing page, for instance, with your freebie or your webinar, that's very important. And I know that Simplio is working on that right now because I've requested it for a while. And they're working on that to actually accommodate that, because it is very important. Does it make sense, guys? Okay. Beth is saying here, does spend money on your post mean boost your post or to run ads that are just posts with no calls to action? Well, Beth, basically, it could be the same. Like, mostly we would say, please don't boost. But this is the one time you're actually allowed to boost if this is the only way you're going to get your spend money on your posts. So I know we're all busy. So we have also, you can't tell anybody, but sometimes I boost as well. You're not allowed to tell anyone, okay? but sometimes we do boost. So here it's okay because when you boost, you optimize on interactions. And that is actually what you want to do when you do an ad on your content, right? So here it's okay. The reason why boosting is not okay if you want to sell something or if you want to get people on your webinar or your newsletter is because then you're not optimizing on the right things. So we actually done some tests and the algorithm, Facebook's own algorithm, is very, very helpful and it's getting very, very smart. So if you're not choosing the right campaign type for instance, for your campaigns, you can end up paying 10 times as much per lead, for instance. So an example would be, if you're doing ads for your newsletter, for instance, you would prefer to optimize on your leads. So you want Facebook's algorithm to find the people who actually end up on your list. And the algorithm gets smarter and smarter. So it gets better and better at actually finding those people who don't just click, but actually end up on your list, right? So if you ask the algorithm, if you're, for instance, doing just a traffic campaign or doing a campaign where you optimize on interactions, then the algorithm will find people who would just click on it or will just like it or write something. And then your leads will be way, way more expensive. There are exceptions though for these things. For instance, if you are doing a sales ad, then you will probably not get enough conversions for it to make sense to optimize on sales. So it might be better to optimize on views on your landing page, for instance, because the algorithm needs a certain amount of conversions to be able to read your data and then help you get more of them. Does that make sense? Yeah, I was gonna say, I will just put on my, does more conversions mean cheaper cost? I think so. Yeah, sometimes it does. It's not always like that. It depends so much on the specific campaign and all that. But we actually see, especially if people have a big audience. In Denmark, where I live, the audience are not that big because, well, yeah, it's a small country, right? But if we have clients who has a very broad audience, for instance, if they work with women and health and weight loss, for instance, we can actually see that their costs are going down when we spend more money. But for some people, for instance, in our niche, you will experience that very fast that your leads are getting more and more expensive, basically. And that's because there are more people trying to reach the same people. Yeah. So I'm going to share a little on how we work when we do campaigns, because I think that will give you an insight on what is the recipe for actually have a successful campaign. So a successful campaign doesn't start with setting up a campaign or setting up the ads, actually ads. A lot of people, when they write us and ask for our help, they're doing it way too late. way, 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 way too late. So we are trying to educate them a little, and most of clients understand it now. So it doesn't start with an ad. It starts with analyzing data and making a strategy. So for instance, let's say you come to us and say, okay, I would like you to set up a webinar campaign. And say, okay, great, what are you selling on this webinar? Have you tried it before? And we would only take you in if you have actually tried the webinar and had success with it. For instance, you could have tested on your existing audience, on your list or something like that. But what we would do, we would start to look at your existing data, for instance, in your ads manager, and look at what's your lead prices, what have you done that worked for you, what's your return of investment. And then we would ask you, what's your values, what do you really like to do, what works for you. So we would look at your experience, and we would of course also look at our experience with your niche. And then we would make a strategy for your ads, kind of like, where could we with ads support your strategy or your business? And then we get to the campaign planning, and that's the content, like the angle. What should we do here to be creative? What text do we do? What pictures should we do? What videos should we do? So marketing is about also very much about being creative. You want to stand out and be visible. You need to create value, but you also need to stand out somehow. Not necessarily by being fun or crazy, but that could be something you could do. What we see all the time is actually people breaking the rules and get really great results. So that's also why you're not going to see us making an online course on how to do great text. Well, we could do that, but we will not give you a recipe, because the recipe is basically always create from your heart. And that's kind of like a recipe that's hard to, it's not the same for you as it is for me. But when we see people that are on purpose, like doing what they're really great at and are so focused on helping and doing a difference, they can do awesome texts. They can do awesome videos that just, really perform well. So this is very important as well. And of course, there's a lot of best practices, and we use that as well. I'm an old journalist, so I love to write, and I do that. I do a lot of copy. So this is the first two steps, and then we actually set up the ads. So this is how we get up setting the ads, setting up the audiences, and then setting up the ads. Then we optimize. So we spend the first 2-3 days kind of figuring out, is everything working all right? What audiences work the best? What text works the best? And if anything like major needs to be adjusted, we would do that. And then for the whole time being, we would of course just always try to make the campaign beta better and better. And when the campaign is over, we evaluate, and then we make adjustments to the strategies, and then we're ready to do a round two. So mostly we work with people like for a whole year, 6 months or something. Now, when we start out, we will always do like a trial period, but some of the clients we have, we work with on a month-to-month basis, but we work with them, for instance, 10 webinars for a year or something, because then we're able to get to know the business really well and make better and better, better marketing. And you can totally do this as well in your own business if you love to do this nerdy work. We love it, so we understand totally if you love it too. Okay. So now I'm going to talk a little about what we see works really well on Facebook. We always say you should do it like the farmer. So marketing doesn't start with sales. And that's very important to understand, because most people focus, even on the like organic posts on Facebook, they would still kind of like focus on their product or their sales, because people should know what you're selling, right? If they don't know what you're selling, they're not going to buy. Well, that's not entirely true. For instance, we don't have currently a funnel in our business. What we do is we just do live streams, and those live streams just generate organic clients. Basically, they see our stuff, they try it out, they see it make a difference, they connect with us and then write an email and say, hey, let's hop on a call. Maybe you can help me out. And then we'll have a talk. We'll figure out if they are the right, if we are matched, right? And they will say yes, and we'll work with them. So we don't have any funnels, for instance, at this point. Well, it is kind of a funnel, but it's not like, you know, then we have 10 emails and then we have like a retarget ad that goes out to the people, inviting them to a conversation. Because if when we get conversations like that organically, then we convert most of them and people are mostly at the right place because we're not pushing to get the sales. So that's one of the things that we talk a lot about when we talk about sustainable marketing, is not being pushy. Because if you're being pushy, you'll burn your bridges, right? And you will even sometimes get clients that don't really need your service. So it's, I don't think marketing is about getting as many clients as possible, but it's about getting the right clients that you can actually make a difference for, because the world don't need anybody to make more money just to make more money. What we need in the world is more love. We need, you know, to make it better, basically, right? So what we say is do it like the farmer. So a farmer would start out sowing, right? Somewhere in the spring. And then he would make sure to water his plants or fertilize them. And then a few months later, he would be able to harvest it, right? So what a lot of people tend to do on Facebook is that they skip the two first bits. And then they're kind of like, why are there no tomatoes here? Why are there no cucumbers? Why are there no wheat on my field? Well, you kind of didn't sow anything and you kind of did not fertilize or water the things. So kind of like with the farmer, the most cost and time consuming part is the first two parts. So if you've got the two first parts right, the last part, the selling or the harvesting, is not that hard, right? So that's what I'm telling you with the example that we are just basically doing live stream and podcast and stuff like that, or masterclasses for free, is that because we do a lot of nurturing, because we do a lot of sowing, we basically don't need to sell, because our clients get so great results that they will just, they stay and then they go out and recommend us to other people, right? And that what, well, that's not the right model for all people, but that is definitely one model that worked for some people. So what does sowing mean if we want to translate it into Facebook marketing? That means making a difference, create value. And we don't create value about telling about our products or how awesome we are. We create value about making a difference. So what is making a difference in a post? That is making a post, a video, where you give people advice, where you say something, tell them something, show them something that makes them think in another way, being able to act in another way, or feel in a new way, right? That is making a difference, creating value. So what can you say, what can you do, what do you know that your audience actually need to get hope or to be able to do something that takes them closer to whatever they want in their life, and that's, which is relevant for your business. That's one of the most important questions you can ask yourself. And again, I don't want you to do posts every day. If you love doing posts, I personally love doing posts, so I don't do posts every day, but we focus on doing one post a week and then spend money getting that post out in front of the audiences. Like, again, both the audience that already know you, but also a new audience. Yeah, and I said this earlier, we go blind if it looks like a commercial. So Facebook is not about selling. It's not trend sales or something like that. Trend sales is a Danish app where you can buy and sell used clothes, for instance. So people are there to hang out and have fun and try to avoid their work or something, their wife or their husband or the kids. Whatever you do, don't make it salesy. It doesn't work. It basically just don't work. Be creative, be inspired and inspire. And that's also like making a difference before people actually buy something. That's the most important thing you can do. And I think that's very caring and loving as well. Yeah, and this is what I said before. Facebook is great for collecting leads and the first encounter with a potential client. It's not necessarily really great for selling in itself, but Facebook is still like one of the best places you can invest your time and money, because there's so many of your potential and ideal clients on Facebook, and it's the only platform in the world where so many of them are if you are working business to clients. It is really amazing. But, you know, Facebook is not for everyone. As I sometimes say to people, if you don't like to use Facebook, if you don't like to do posts, if you don't want to do ads, like if you don't have any idea what to say and you don't really care about it, then, or if something else is working for them, then by all means do that. Like, I love Facebook. I don't love Facebook, but I love the ability to actually have your own like broadcast channel and connect with people and help people. And you have all possibilities to really connect with people in a genuine, authentic way on Facebook. And that's what works. So this is something my husband says, what works is what works for you. So what does that mean? That means that I can teach you a framework. Someone else can teach you a framework. You can take like an online course on how to do great posts, or you can do an online course on how to do great videos. But when it all comes down to your marketing and your business, what works is what works for you. You cannot just take my strategy or someone else's strategies and just make sure and think you can get the exact same result. You cannot. You have to figure out what works for you. And what works for you is also what you like. So some people really don't like to do videos. And if they really don't like to do videos, they're mostly not very good at it. So they might not be a very efficient spend of time or money to do these videos. Then it's better just to do a post, for instance. And it's kind of confusing, because a lot of people who do marketing, they would kind of like say, for instance, okay, if you want to do a freebie, nobody wants to have an ebook anymore. You have to do a video series. And they have all these arguments why you should not do an ebook. You should do this video series. And I just have to tell you, I see people do webinars that work. I see people who do webinars that don't work. I see people who do post videos that work. I see people with video posts that don't work. I see normal posts that work. I see normal posts that don't work. So it's not about necessarily the framework, but it's more about what you put in it. And then I'm going back to one of my earlier points that I want to underline again, is that if you communicate from your heart, or from your passion, you will attract your audience way better than if you're just trying to figure it out with your head, or if you're doing something that you don't like. So you're allowed to choose your clients, you're allowed to choose marketing that you actually like. So if you like to write, then write. If you like to do videos and that's easy for you, then do your videos. If you like to do webinars, then do webinars, because yeah, you're most likely going to be good at what you actually like, right? That makes sense. So I've already said a little about this. What is sustainable? What is a sustainable strategy on Facebook? So it's based on your actual experience and resources. A lot of people make strategies based on somebody else's business. So you can sometimes find coaches, for instance, that sell you an online course based on their experience. But their like framework and their experience were based on, for instance, like having a huge audience before they started out. And that's the reason why they could get so great results. So you can't just copy it. You have to make a strategy that's based on your experience and your actual resources and what you like to do. because there's nothing worse to do marketing and be stuck in a business that you don't like, right? And then it has to be realistic. Like sometimes we have clients that suddenly have some kind of life crisis. So if you're in a life crisis, it's not realistic to do a huge launch and suddenly do like 10 posts in a week and stuff like that. Then you scale down, be realistic. What time do you actually have, right? Because if we create from anxiety or from lack, we will create lack, right? So you want to create from a place of abundance and from a place where you're happy and you actually like what you do. And a few years ago, I on a homepage, a webpage, it was from a huge ads agency. I saw that they wrote, you know, we only make decisions based on data. We don't use intuition. And I was kind of like, what do we actually do? So I think data is very important. I love all the numbers that you get out of campaigns. I really love them. I know that's very nerdy, but I really, really do love them. But your intuition is just as an important factor, but you just have to know when to use what. And then of course you use best practice. It's not necessary to figure everything out yourself. So you're allowed to listen to me or somebody else and get inspired, right? So it's a combination of those things that makes a sustainable strategy. And it's important it matches your brand and values. It's a big, huge misunderstanding that you have to write in a certain way or you have to be very extrovert to have success with your marketing. So all brands are different and it should be based not on what you think your audience want, but what you actually are. That's authentic branding, right? When you do authentic branding, it's also way, way easier to attract your ideal client. And it's also way easier to get visible, because then people can way easier see who you actually are and see if it's a match. And it's easier for you to do this if you let go of the idea that you have to reach everyone. You don't have to reach everyone, you have to reach the right ones. And then there's something about flexible goal setting. It's something that we work with because what we can see with campaigns is that every campaign kind of has its own potential. So you can't just say, okay, I want 500 leads and I want them to cost $2 each. You can definitely have that as a goal, but basically, even though we are professional at this and we're really good at doing ads, we cannot decide that for you. What we can do is give your campaign the optimal grounds for getting the best results, right? We can give them the optimal, what is it called? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I think you understand what I'm saying. So have flexible goal setting. So it's important that you don't look at your campaign and think that you can get the same results as someone you know in a niche that has way more experience and has already have a huge audience. If you do that, you'll get disappointed. We sometimes get people in who actually think they got bad results. And when we look at the numbers, we're kind of like, but you're making a lot of money on this. And then don't see it because they think they expected their campaigns to work out better or have a higher return of investment because they knew someone or 2 years ago, they did something that worked even better. But the market is changing all the time. So it's important to be realistic and be flexible in the goal setting so you don't disappoint yourself. If you disappoint yourself, you might take some really bad decisions about your ads. So I'm just going to take a small break and see if there's any questions. So if any of you guys are, have any questions? Okay, so I am going to share my screen again. And thank you, Beth. So when you Applying your own strategy on Facebook, you have to figure out where is your business, what is your starting point. Do you have a funnel already? Is it tested? If you don't have a funnel or don't have a strategy, you don't start out with that. You can definitely do the nurturing campaign I talked about, but then you have to start figure out what should your strategy be? What should my funnel look like? Like, how do you want to sell your stuff? Again, because Facebook or Facebook ads in itself is not a strategy or funnel. It could be a part of one, right? So if you already have a strategy or funnel and you have tested it, no, if you have a strategy or funnel and you need to test it, then you can use ad, for instance, to send traffic to a webinar where you can test your funnel and figure out how does this work. And when you have when you have found a webinar, a way to sell your stuff that works, then you can start making it better and you can start scaling it up, right? And then it makes sense to hire someone else to like run the ads for you and help you. You can definitely also get help like creating a list or a webinar so you can test your funnel out. But it's just important, again, that you know where you're at, because sometimes people are not even aware that they don't have a funnel and they expect to get these results down here, like being able to do like a webinar with thousands of people and a massive sale, or just doing a massive sale with ads alone. And that's very rarely the case. So one of the biggest thing you have to think at as well, who is your audience or where are they at when you meet them? So we differ between a cold and a warm audience. Cold audience is people who don't know your brand. I've never met you. So this is the top of the funnel. So this is here you focus on sowing. Like this is the first meeting. So how do you meet people? How do you greet people? How can you meet them in a way that's relevant for them, right? So that would be the same as inviting someone out on their first date. How would you do that? So you can ask yourself, how do you invite your audience or your potential client out on a first date? And that would probably be with creating some kind of value or talking about some of the issues they have or the dreams that they have. How could they get closer to that dream? And then you have an audience that is warm, but that not that warm. It could, for instance, be someone who has visited your homepage or seen some of your posts. It could be a subscriber on your newsletter. And you can see if you go further down the sales funnel here, this is what I would say. This is they get warmer and warmer and warmer, right? So down here, it makes sense to put sales ads in front of them. You could also put sales ads in front of them here if it's a low-end product, for instance, with a big discount or something. But if it's a normal, a mid-end, a high-end product, you don't use ads to cold and you don't use ads to people who are not very warm. It doesn't make sense. You will definitely not get very great results with that. And I'm going to give you some of the examples of just, this is just basic strategies because this can look so, you can do this, you can mix and match and it looks very different. But you can do low end products, direct sales. So it is possible to do a low end products directly and sell them on ads. It is definitely possible. It could be books, eBooks. It can be like a micro product that gives a lot of value. So it's a no brainer for people to buy it. And then there are live streams with or with no retarget. For instance, with us, we do a lot of live streams. For half a year, we did one live stream every week. And we basically teach some of the same things that we would be teaching on an online course that people paid for. And then we would spend some money both inviting people to the live streams and after the live stream, we would spend some money getting those recordings out in front of new people and existing audience of people who's already warm, right? And then you can add on this, if you have, for instance, you can invite people to a strategy session, or if you have like a smaller online product, you can definitely do retarget sales ads to the people who have seen your live streams. That's possible now in Ads Manager, is to do an audience based just on the people who have seen your videos or live streams, for instance. Then you can do a webinar funnel, which is, you probably know about that, but that's very basic. So here you basically just spend your ads on getting people to this webinar. And you can do a live webinar, you can also do ever webinar. We have clients who does ever webinars, which means that we run ads the whole year, like every day we run ads to the same recording. And we help them not only run the ads, but optimizing the whole funnel, kind of like looking, how can we make the sales page, not sales page, the landing page convert even better? How can we make the ads convert better, et cetera, et cetera. And the great thing is that if you make sure to track the sales as well, you'll be able to actually see what audiences actually end up selling the best. So you can also manually, you can actually optimize. So you choose the audiences or choose the text that end up selling the best, right? That's pretty great. And the newsletter funnel are more or less the same, except that you don't sell with a webinar, but you have some kind of email series that sells people your online product or your workshop, etc. So this is just a few examples on and actually strategies of funnels where ads could be a part of it. And again, it's a part of it. It's not necessarily the entire strategy. And if you have some kind of low-end product you would like to sell, you can actually do like a mini funnel. So you can, for instance, do a few videos with no sales and put that in front of a cold audience. And then you can try to retarget and do sales ads to the people who have seen, for instance, half of the video or interacted with your posts about that subject. So again, you make your sales more relevant, and you should see kind of all your marketing kind of like a conversation with people, right? So if you make sure that that when you sell something to people, they already know you, they will definitely convert better than if you try to sell to people who don't know you. So the prices will always be lower if people know you. So that's also sustainable. It's not sustainable just to spend more money to spend more money. You have to spend them wisely, right? So what data should you look at when you are optimizing your ads? What's important here? I've talked a little about it, and it depends on the campaign time, what kind of funnel you have. But this is the four main thing that we look at. So the price per lead or per sale is very important. So it all comes down to what kind of money do you make money on this? If you don't make money on it, it doesn't make sense. So you have to know your numbers, and you have to be able to actually track on your sales. If you're not able to track on your sales, it doesn't make sense. But luckily you are with the Simplero, right? And then your cost per click are very important, because that tells you a lot about the quality of your creatives, like your texts and your videos and your pictures, right? But it also tells you the quality of your audiences. And the thing, it can be a bit difficult here, because then you have to test. You cannot always at once see if it's your audience or if it is your text, but here you have to test, right? So you would be able to, if you tried out different audiences, you can see that some of your texts do better with some audiences, and then you can choose the audiences that perform the best, right? And some of the texts will in general perform better with all audiences, and some will in general perform worse with all audiences. And then you can take out the ones that are more expensive. And the conversion of your landing page, it doesn't matter if it's a sales page or if it's an opt-in page, it's very important. As I talked about, it's very important. And it's important to know your numbers. Like, for instance, we say that if a sales page convert more than 2%, it's probably not your sales page you should look at. Then it's converting pretty well, right? But again, it depends on the needs, the product, the price of the product, et cetera, et cetera. A good conversion on a landing page, I would say, that is more than 30%, we actually sometimes have landing pages that convert up to 75%. Yeah, that's right. And that's like a huge factor on your price. So it's very important that you really work on your landing pages and your sales pages. But it's also important to know when it's not the place to look, so you don't waste your time or money, like have someone make a great sales page if it's actually not the issue here. So your average lead value, that's one of the things that I really like with Simpleo, is actually you can see your average lead value in the front page when you go into the, what is it called? Beth, help me here. Ah, I don't remember, but you probably know what I mean, guys. So your average lead value is, if you have 1,000 people on your list, in average, what kind of money would you make on your actual leads? And it's very important for you because it tells you what you can afford to pay for your leads, right? For some people, it's okay to pay like $10 per lead or even more. We actually have a client who probably has the most expensive leads we ever have seen. And we have definitely sometimes cried over her ads. but she's pretty happy because she actually have a return of investment that is 1 to 10. So every time she spends $1, she will make $10, except that number is, it's much higher. And that's because when she sells something, she will make $10,000 per client, right? So it doesn't matter if she pays like a $50 per lead, because if she talks with four people, she will convert one of them or convert every 10th lead she get in. So she still have a pretty decent return of investment. Yeah. Oh, I can see there. Yeah, dashboard. So, Melanie asked here, are we going to get a copy of the slides? I was thinking, Beth, Nita, if you wanted to, I have made them so I can ship them over to you guys. So you can definitely get my slides. And yes, thank you, Beth, for the dashboard. It's because, again, here in Denmark, it's evening now. And the whole lockdown thing, well, my kids' schools were completely closed for this week, and it kind of came as a shock for us. So we are trying to manage work and three smallest kids, and so now it's Friday evening, so I'm a bit knackered at this point. Melanie says here, I love Simpleo and new instant campaigns. Yeah, Simpleo, I love Simpleo as well. And Lynn says, this was brilliant. I love how you reframe the whole process and strategy. I have to run. Thank you, Lynn, for listening. Yeah. So, okay. I am going to, well, this actually was my last slide. So what I'm going to do now is basically just reframe the whole thing. If any of you guys have any questions, this is now you should ask, because we have 10, 12 minutes left. And I'm just going to repeat some of the main points that I really want you to take from today. So you cannot take anybody else's strategy and expect the same results. That's very important. If you don't like Facebook, stop using it. and ask can fix if you have a message issue or if you have a product issue. But ads are awesome as a part of your strategy to get leads for instance, to your newsletter, to your webinar, to your podcast, to your live streams, or somewhere where you are able to share your message and make a difference. So getting success with Facebook marketing and even ads is all about making a difference. So what we see is that people who are on purpose, people who do what they love and are here on earth to do, they can break all the rules and get really great results, especially if they focus on creating value and make a difference. That's what works the best. We're actually working with a client right now who does something very similar to what we do. And he has just he's getting way better conversion on his webinars now because he's focusing way more on helping than creating gaps. You know, a lot of us have been told that when you do webinars, you have to do these gaps to make people feel that you really need what you do. And well, yeah, you can definitely do that, but that's very manipulating. What you need to do is making a difference. Because if you make a difference, people will contact you if what you do is a match to them. And that's what's most important, I think. I think that's what I wanted to say for today. It's 1919 now here in Denmark. That's gotta be some magic number. So thank you all guys for listening, and thank you for being over with me with my a bit tiredness and my first English masterclass. It was a pleasure, and I hope you learned something new today, and I hope that you guys take something new with you home that can make your marketing better. That's all I wish for you. And have a awesome weekend and a very happy Christmas. And Bethany, thank you. Yeah, sleep well. Yeah, I will definitely will sleep well. I'll wait a couple of hours. And Sharma, thank you so much. Yeah. And if any of you guys have any questions about today, and if simply you have any problems sending out the slides, you can definitely write me on Facebook. And this is me on Facebook. My full name here. That's it. Thank you. So I'll end the.